In Boston, there was a minister who noticed a group of boys were standing around. There was a small stray dog right there. And he asked them, "What are you doing, boys?" And they said, "Telling lies. The one who tells the biggest lies gets the dog." Pastor thought a little bit and said, "Well, when I was your age," he was shocked. He said, "I never thought of telling a lie." The boys looked at one another, a little crestfallen, and then finally one of them shrugged and said, "I guess he wins the dog." Sometimes we need to remind ourselves we've all sinned, right? And it's truthful that sins hurt people. They hurt ourselves, they hurt others. And I want to be really real with us today about this. Sins have victims. And I can tell that we've all been victims. I believe that. I also want to state clearly, I do not believe that everyone is victimized equally. That some people are harmed more than others in this life. And the message today God's put on my heart is for all of us. But for some of you, I hope you hear especially the good news that Jesus has. Because we don't all have the same pain, trauma, suffering, or shame. But there's also tremendous good news in this, that I want to state just as emphatically that the power of Jesus' death and resurrection for us, God brings healing for us in this life, in the next. Do you believe that with me, friends? Amen. And because we need that, and because we need to hear that, I want to share this scripture with you today. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to celebrate that. We've been going through different passages in scripture about what Jesus has done for us on the cross. The work he's done has accomplished so much for us. Next week, we're going to look at one of my favorite themes, and that is recap, that in Jesus, Israel's story becomes our story, and how beautiful and powerful that is for us. Today we're in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 12. This is some people's favorite scripture, so I hope I do it justice. But God showed it to me in a new light. So if you'll turn with me there, 2 Corinthians 4, and as soon as you have that, would you mind standing with me? And I understand some can't stand physically, totally understand. We all can just, the point is that we are listening wholeheartedly to these words as a word from the Lord as we read. Let's read with our eyes best we can, and most of all, hear with our ears and our heart. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear these words, we ask that you would anoint them for us, each and every one of us. Lord, may we hear the healing balm you have for us, and also the calling you have for each one of us through this, we ask. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 through 12. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that our life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't know if you noticed, but Paul just proved one of my points there. At the very end, verse 12, he said that he and others were facing death as a daily reality. But the Corinthians he was writing to were not. They were experiencing a sort of inequality of suffering, and that's fine. God's glory was shining in each of their lives just in different ways. Maybe none of us here today or online are missionaries like Paul, but I believe his experience and wisdom can be brilliantly helpful for our topic today. Brilliant, that was a little pun there, all the light. I should have worked that into something a little better, but it can be brilliantly helpful for us. And let me just start with me, and I want to be careful as I do this. I understand trauma and the suffering that people have gone through stories. I personally have not been traumatized. I won't try to pretend that I have. From what I understand trauma to be, I haven't gone through that. All of us have gone through various forms of pain and suffering, but I haven't been traumatized. So the only reason I feel called to preach this morning, this message, is because I sense the Spirit directing in this. And it's such a big important, I believe, for why Jesus died for us. And so he's empowered me through his word, and I hope to do justice to that with some of the trouble some of us have gone through. Kind of a shift to a funny thing. I hit my head a lot. I got my hair cut recently. I realized it probably looked pretty bad as he was cutting my hair. And because of the particular status that I have in terms of DNA and age, I have a little less hair. So when I hit my head, it's a little bit more visible. And if you're taller than me, you've probably seen injuries up there. I'm glad I'm tall. But when I was younger, I realized, I thought that I hit my head and I stubbed my toes because I was clumsy. That's what I thought. And as a young adult, I realized a little more, and I realized that it's partly because I'm tall that I hit my head, you know, and certain homes we've lived in have reminded me of that. And as I aged and matured, I realized I grew very quickly in 1 year of my life. And so I was known as tall for the rest of my life, but only by people sometimes who were the same height as me or even taller than me because they just remembered me as being tall. And it dawned on me that I grew so fast, it's possible that my self-concept, the understanding of where my body parts are, didn't grow as fast as my limbs. And I now think that I gave up a little inside. That I, you know, it's ironic because I love sports and basketball, and sports are all about controlling yourself, your hands, your feet, all that kind of stuff. But for some reason, I do stub my toes a lot. I do hit my head a lot. And there's no particular thing in our home right now, no overhang or any, no excuse for me, but I hit it again last Sunday, just leaning over to get into my dresser. And so I say this kind of silliness about myself because I realize that the things that happen to us, both the decisions we make and the experiences we have, the things that happen to us when we are young, have a disproportionate effect on the rest of our lives. And I think we all understand that. I know that we have a sense about that in us. Like our desire to protect young ones is so strong and it's so immediate, but it's also informed by our own experience. And this is also why Jesus said in Matthew 18, that if any were to harm one of these little ones, it'd be better if a millstone were tied around his neck and be tossed into the deepest sea. Because God has judgment coming for those who harm little ones. And it's just one of the few things that Jesus said that really sticks out in terms of how he sees justice and judgment and that he will be delivering. And so as I think about it, when people are harmed, it's hard, especially when they're young. Many people have been victimized and it has a disproportionate impact on those who are young. And so what this means for me is if you want to love others, you have to love people not as their own ideal of who they are, or even as your own expectations of who they could be. We have to love others where they're at. Does that sound familiar? that's how love is. That's how God loved us, is how we are to love others. That means loving people warts and all, trauma and all, progress or regress. We love people where they're at. And this is how Jesus continues to love us. Praise God. So if we want Jesus' love to flow through us, we have to do it as Jesus did. And so trauma and victimization is an aspect of Jesus' work for us through the cross that isn't normally talked about much. And I realize why this week. If we're honest, no one likes to talk about it. On the one hand, those of us who haven't really gone through any trauma, we're tempted to think that other people's suffering isn't that bad. We just hope and wish the world was a better place. And so our expectations are, well, maybe it's not that bad. On the other hand, those who have been traumatized are tempted by shame to keep silent anyways. So who wants to talk about this? Raise your hands. I'm just kidding. No one likes to talk about this, but I believe that Jesus' crucifixion does some powerful things for our healing. And I just want to say two things as we get started here. What Jesus went through on the cross and resurrection means that Jesus suffers with us and that Jesus offers healing. And those things seem like no-brainers, but I just want to say them in all the ways I can. Jesus suffers with us, and Jesus offers healing. And so because Jesus suffered for us, he knows your pain. And because Jesus suffers with us, you are not alone. And if that's the only thing you hear today, praise God, your life will be changed. To be very real with you, I'll remind you today that some abuse naturally leads towards trauma and suffering. And when someone experiences that at a young, at an immature age, it's hard to respond in a healthy way. We don't have the tools available to us. We don't know. It's brand new to us. A lot of times people fawn, like they just kind of freeze. They don't know what to do. They're often not prepared for the dysfunctional shaping of feelings and attitudes. They experience betrayal, often from someone she or he depends upon. It can result in feelings of powerlessness, which, as you can imagine, is a very detrimental lens through which to view all the future challenges of life, that I'm just going to be powerless. But that's the temptation. And often, someone will experience a stigmatization, a sense of shame and guilt from the events totally outside of their control, and yet they're tempted to be stigmatized by it. At a young age, it can become impossible to avoid these kinds of things. But friends, God heals. And he continues to offer his healing. And I want to declare to victims today that Jesus, the Son, was also victimized. And his resurrection power is for your healing. So let's unpack that. First of all, let me state the obvious. On the cross, Jesus' body was brutalized. His psyche was traumatized. His whole being was victimized by others. So the Bible is serious when it says that Jesus was crushed for us in Isaiah 53:10. Verse 11 says, "My righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities." And so by his suffering, or through his suffering, he bears sin. I've heard a number of stories of people who've been through something difficult and asked, where was God in the suffering? And as they come to realize who Jesus is and what they went through, they realize deep down in their soul, Jesus was with me. A quote from a book I'm enjoying by LeClaire and Peterson, "Jesus was willing to die for our sake, not just for sinners, but also for the sinned against. In his humiliation, he died for the humiliated. He allowed himself to be beaten, to empathize with the beaten. He submitted himself to excruciating pain, rejecting any analgesic, any painkiller, to empathize with those in pain. He allowed himself to be victimized, to empathize with victims of all sorts. And to be clear, the cross is the means of salvation for the sinner, but it's also the most important revelation of the empathetic capacity of God, who stands in solidarity with those who suffer and die at the hands of others." I just so appreciated reading that this week. We saw recently that Jesus endured intense shame. Included with that was the physical abuse done to him publicly, and the hating crowds, the leering view, the mockery from the leaders of Jews and Gentiles and all the commoners in Judea. These all combined to pour salt on his physical wounds. So Jesus suffered physical and emotional abuse. Also spiritual abuse from those spiritual leaders, and relational abuse from neighbors and people who knew him, and mental abuse, just trying to go through that, and others. And what's amazing is to remember that Jesus had prophecy of Psalm 22 on his lips, as we spent some time with that. And so he was thinking about these things, and he was himself fulfilling them as he was on the cross. So he knew what would happen the whole time, and yet he still chose to go through it for us. Isn't that amazing? He did it for us. So we can confidently say Jesus suffered like us, the worst trauma humanity had to offer. And that's past tense. And then verse 10 tells us that we are to carry this in the body, to carry Jesus' own suffering in the body. Isn't that amazing? It's hard to look at Jesus' suffering, but there's a reason God calls us here through a scripture to carry it in the body. Now, if life is good, you've never experienced trauma, that can make no sense, right? Why would we carry about Jesus' suffering in our body? I'm glad he did that for us, right? And yet there's an ongoing calling in this suffering world, both to forsake our own sinfulness and also to help others. We are called to carry this about in our body. For missionary Paul and his companions, they needed the suffering Jesus because they were going to be suffering. for other apostles and Christians in that day who were martyred. They needed Jesus' suffering in them. For all of us, we need it too. Just, it depends on your situation. We all need it. We all need a suffering Savior. And that is who we have in Jesus, a suffering Savior. And so Jesus suffered for us, and so we know he suffers with us. And because of that, that knowledge helps us. And so we can also confidently say that Jesus offers healing. We can heal, praise God. We can mend and recuperate and be restored. We can receive the salve of salvation. The word salvation comes from the same word that we use for salve. And so we can receive his healing. We live this side of Jesus' resurrection, and it proves a whole bunch of things, including that God was faithful to his son, that Jesus relayed all of this to his disciples, and he told them in advance it would happen. And so Luke 18, verse 32 and following, he says the Messiah would be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and insult him and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him, and on the third day, he will rise again. So he told them it was happening and it was coming. And it's ironic. Now that we see that looking back, we realize that God has patience for us as well. Because Jesus told the disciples multiple times, right? And they didn't get it. So he told them again. And then afterward in the resurrection, after the resurrection, he told them again. He has so much patience with them. And it just reminds us that Jesus has patience for us as well. And we all know that we'll all be healed in heaven. That seems obvious, and we celebrate that. But Jesus offers healing now. Even though it's slow, hard, and often unfair work, Jesus offers healing now. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And then quoting Isaiah, by his wounds you are healed. You hear that present tense? By his wounds, you are healed. Jesus offers this for us. This side of heaven, Jesus is offering healing, salvation, salve for our bodies, minds, souls, and everything we are. Salve. And that's why 2 Corinthians 4 is so powerful to me. He talks about jars of clay. We know jars of clay are breakable. We have to be careful with them. We don't like that image. I'd rather be stainless steel, you know, or whatever. But he calls us jars of clay because even though we may be strong, we're not as strong as we think. And also, this is the key point. It's not about the value of the jar. It's about the value of what the jar holds. We are valuable to God, and we are valuable to others because of who is inside us. That sinful sinners can be redeemed and glorious people of God, sons and daughters, because we have his treasure in us. And we need to focus not on the exterior, not on these jars, whatever we're made of. We need to focus on the treasure that's in us. And as we focus, it's one of the ways our healing begins. The prophet Jeremiah talks about the potter shaping us as clay because we are safe in his hands. And friends, there are a lot of things people need to heal from. Things like physical abuse, emotional abuse, even spiritual abuse. And spiritual abuse, I'll just say again, there are a lot of people who are manipulated by spiritual authorities, whether it's parents or pastors or other spiritual leaders, to try to, you know, just behave. Just, here's the legalism. Here's, if you just do all these things, you'll be good and you'll be fine. Also, it's easier for me, right? Or, you know, pastor worship. I dare say I'm not a rock star pastor, so I'm not really tempted to this, you know. But sometimes people are attracted to those who just seem like that's the perfect pastor and that person has all the answers and so-and-so said rather than the Bible said. And some of these pastors don't do a good enough job, I feel at times, of pointing to Jesus instead of just to them, you know. And then also works righteousness. The idea if you just do these things, you'll be saved and instead of introducing each one to the God of the universe. And so there's all different kinds of abuse. If we want healing, there's some things we can do. And the first thing is to be honest. I have a lighthouse image, I think. Scripture today talks about the light of God shining in the darkness. And so we have to let the light shine into our lives. We have to be honest. It's tempting to just ignore what has happened to us, to not want to talk about it or even think about it. But the first step is to be honest, because if you've been victimized by sin, don't minimize it. Healing comes through addressing reality, not denying it. And what, we all know that, we all understand that, but we prefer on these kinds of issues to not think about it, to deny it. But that's the first step, is to be honest. It can be hard to talk about it, even with ourselves. Have you noticed that? It's important to do that. We start with ourselves. We start with God. Be honest. All of us should take a wellness check from time to time. There's 6 different areas of wellness. There's 6 different areas between physical and emotional and also mental and spiritual. Even social, you know, relational. Even intellectual, understanding, our understanding about God and the world, all these things. It's good for us from time to time to take kind of a wellness check for ourselves. And we need to recognize that God wants us to heal. That's the first thing to understand. God wants you to heal. Luke 10:27. I love this verse. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Does God want you to love yourself? I know that seems a little weird sometimes, but there it's written. That's what he wants us to love others as we love ourselves. And so it's important to recognize God does want us to love ourselves. Well, what is love? Love is wanting the best for someone, right? Does God want us to have the best for ourselves? All the best he has to offer in this life. Does he want us to have that? Yes. Now we can get confused about what the best is. And advertisers, you know, tempt us with all kinds of things. Here's the best this, here's the best that. But God really does want the best for each and every one of us. God wants us to heal. Sometimes we have to say that in the mirror, right? Lori, you went through some classes, right? Sometimes we have to say that in the mirror on counseling and the profession of that. And so say it in the mirror if you have to. The third thing is to seek God about healing. Luke 18:41, I love this. The way Jesus speaks to people is so instructive. Jesus asked this one, what do you want me to do for you? And he answers, Lord, I want to see. And that really quick exchange is so instructive for us, I think. Because we have to seek our own healing. And Jesus was with multiple people. He would call it out, what do you want? And as soon as they expressed it, he would do what they were asking. And so I just want to say, if you've been victimized by sin, gain a clear view of it and ask the Lord what you need. Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't, but ask him. Seek him by his Spirit and with others who can help. And the fourth thing is to invest in spiritual friendship. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens. The burdens are the really heavy things we can't do on our own. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And so we all at some point in this life need to help carry burdens, but also need help with our burdens. And so seek and invest in spiritual friendship. Now, I'm not naive. I do not believe that time itself heals any wounds, no matter what anybody says. But in time, God's healing power happens for us if we just cooperate with it. Like when Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. We can receive the healing he has for us in time. And God can heal us. Are you with me on that, friends? Amen. One aside, I just want to mention, if you've never experienced trauma and you don't have any in your household, praise God, and we rejoice with you. Also, because you're part of the body of Christ, God has a role for you in this. You may not understand what someone else has gone through. You can learn. You may have no wisdom for another who's been through it. You can listen. If you got nothing to say, it works out perfect. They need a listening ear anyways. One who is healing may need something from you. All we have to do is make ourselves available. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And as we do that, God can use us. in important ways. Beyond that, from your place of strength, God can use you to help make this a stronger world. The world needs protection. And from your normal life, as it's sometimes called, people need friends who are normal friends and have a normal life. One victimized by sin may not need your psychologizing, but may need your friendship. Doesn't need your expert diagnosis, but may need your help around the home. You never know. And everyone needs to be a part of a healthy community. And so that's what we can be. We all have a part to play in the healing of those who've been harmed. I heard the incredible story of a man named Lester. His friend Anthony Ray Hinton was wrongly imprisoned for 28 years for a murder he did not commit. He lived in the shadow of death row for those years, many of those years. Lester, his best friend since childhood, drove 8 hours one way every Friday night to visit his friend on death row and to be there with them. 28 years he was with his friend. Lawyer Bryan Stevenson tells the story in his Equal Justice Initiative and took on the case and was able to get Hinton freed. Praise God. But I love that story that Lester was with his friend. That was something he could do. And so he did it by Jesus' grace. There's lots of good resources, excuse me, to help us heal. And I put these on the back of the bulletin insert there, and I put them up on the screen here so you can see local resources. There are local folks who can help. There's lots of good books, good websites, good channels. I've read a few of these books here. If you go to that books page for us. Also, I put on the back of your insert some psalms that can help in meditating and reading. I just want to say, if you need healing, Jesus is here. He offers it today. And I want to add one note of caution that I wish I could promise you your healing could be so complete you'll never forget the harm done to you. I can't promise that. I wish I could promise that if you turn to Jesus, your healing would be immediate. Usually it's not. But I can say with confidence that God can start that work today, that Jesus can give you hope today, that the Holy Spirit can fill you and give his presence today. And I believe that Jesus' healing and resurrection life can intensely salve your mind, body, heart, soul, relationships, and everything. And that all of God's children will eventually come to a place where we can say, in the light of heaven, that small blip on our life, despite it all, that blip, that pain, despite that, I'm restored. I'm healed. I'm made new. God brought me through it. I'm his child. I am strong. Look what he has brought me through. That thing that harmed you and traumatized you will look small compared to God's power. And the healing will be complete and full. And it can start today. Amen? I believe that today. And friends, you have friends here today that can help you on that. I want to close with one image, and the worship team can come forward. One of the really cool things about this image, the jars of clay, I just learned recently. In Corinth, they were known for making the most impressive jars of clay. You can't tell archaeologically because most of them got broken. They were able to make jars with a special clay that was very thin. So they didn't survive archaeologically, but historians now realize that in this place, Corinth, the jars they made were more translucent than the rest. Jars often were made as lights. And so they would light the lamp, and this jar would shine brighter than the others. It was like the best flashlight you could get. And isn't that amazing? This message he wrote, he knew there are jars of clay there in Corinth. And friends, we can be the clearest jars that shine the most. You know how light can shine through a very thin layer of pottery. We can shine. That treasure in us can just continue to grow and grow and shine in us. And we can shine with the brightness in our life and rejoice with the God who's in us and healing us and also out unto others. Friends, that could be your story today. I want to pray for that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and your care for us. Lord, we ask for your work of healing. Lord, I know a few stories here today. And parts of other stories, and some I don't know any of their story. Lord, all of us have experienced pain and suffering, but all of us need some healing. And for those especially today who just really need a dose of your healing, Lord, either to have be begun or to be completed in you, we just ask for that healing right now. Lord, help us in whatever means we need to bring about healing. And help us all to be a community of healing and a place for hope, a place of hope, Lord, your hope shining through us. May this hope go with us everywhere we go. May your light shine through us everywhere we go. We ask, may we treasure the treasure that is in us, Lord, so that despite the death of sin and suffering, Lord, despite pain, but yet your hope shines much brighter. Your life is much stronger. Your resurrection life just fills us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.